This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Aren't you glad that God's been good in your life? God's been so good. He's watched out over us. He leads us. He guides us. He directs us. He helps us out every single step of the way. And I'm so glad today to know that He is here with us. And I am comforted by that fact. And so let's go ahead and look to Joshua chapter number 6. Now, if you've been with us in our study, we've been talking about finish well. And we've been going through the life of Joshua, one of the greatest Old Testament heroes in the Bible. So far, he has brought the people of God over the mighty Jordan River. They have identified with God's covenant sign of circumcision. They have participated by sanctifying themselves in the Passover meal. And now they are preparing to attack the city of Jericho. Now, you need to know that the city of Jericho is just one of many cities. It's probably the largest of the cities. Next week, we'll be talking about how they attack Ai, which is a little smaller city. This city is probably the biggest city, the chief city, the metropolitan area of the entire Canaanite area. And so it's a large city. It's a walled city. It's secured. They have an army. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of means. And God is telling Joshua that he's got to go through Jericho. Now, the reason why he's got to conquer Jericho is because they're camped out at Gilgal. If they stay in Gilgal on this side of the Jordan, they never move forward, they will constantly be at war with Jericho. And so they are going to have to fight if they're going to move on and claim the land that God has called them to claim. And so this is a wonderful Old Testament story that teaches us this principle, that we can take obstacles and turn them into opportunities. The obstacles in my life and the obstacles in your life can be transformed into opportunities to bring the Lord glory. That's the thrust of this chapter. Let's begin reading in chapter 6 and verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. For 6 days, I want you to march around this city. Something's going to change on the seventh. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And the 7th day, ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Now get what he's saying here. For 6 days you're going to march around, then you're going to get the priests and the ram horns, then you're going to march around another 7 days. And the Bible says in verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, I love this, and all the people shall what? Shout with a great shout. I love shouting, amen. They shall shout with a great shout. It's a shout of victory. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. You can be seated this morning. I want to talk about turning obstacles into opportunities. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would lead us and guide us and direct us by the very power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Lord, we are excited and delighted because we've been invited into your wonderful presence. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take the obstacles that we are facing right now, the barriers, Lord, that hinder us from doing what you have called us to do, things that hinder our family, Lord, things that hinder our finances, things that are hindering our future and even our faith. Lord, we ask you tonight to remove the barriers, Lord, and to replace it with the blessings of God. I know without a doubt there are folks that are in this room struggling with some type of obstacle. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach them to take the obstacles and turn them into opportunities to magnify your wonderful name, and we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, what we call adversity, God calls opportunity. If you want to tweet something today, you need to tweet that, all right? What we call adversity, God calls it an opportunity.
And I have found that God uses obstacles in our lives to do several things. Number one, to nullify our fears, to fortify our faith, to clarify our future, and to help us to glorify the Father. Now, you need to get that today. God uses obstacles and adversity in my life to nullify my fears, that I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I know that God is already working in my tomorrow. So he nullifies our fears. He definitely fortifies my faith. He strengthens my faith. He causes me to have a faith that is confident, a faith that's full of courage, a trusting in him. He clarifies our future, and certainly he teaches us to glorify the Father. This is what's happened to Israel over these past several years within their life. As you study the history of Israel, you'll find out the adversity that they faced was remarkable. It's incredible what they had to endure up until this point. They had escaped Pharaoh's army. They had crossed over the Red Sea. They had walked through the searing hot desert sands. They had grieved over the death of their beloved leader, Moses, the man of God. They had to embrace a brand new leader, a young man by the name of Joshua, as their new leader. They passed over the mighty River Jordan. They identified with the covenant sign of circumcision. Remember that from last week? Joshua said that all the men had to be circumcised again. That is, the men that were born during that 40 years, those men that weren't circumcised because their parents had neglected their spiritual obligation, they had to be circumcised. And so they identify with the covenant sign of circumcision. They sat down for a Passover meal, and they worship God. And now they are preparing themselves to conquer Jordan or to conquer Jericho. These guys have been through all sorts of adversity. And every single time, the entire time, God is nullifying their fears. He's fortifying their faith. He's clarifying their future. And he is definitely teaching them to glorify God. He's teaching them to trust in the Lord. You need to know that the crossing of the Jordan and the conquering of Jericho, these two obstacles, these are things that Joshua and the people of God didn't do. This wasn't done by their own power or their own might. This is going to be something that is supernatural and that happens in their life, and God is going to remove their obstacles for them. It's interesting that the word Canaan that God uses to describe the land, the word Canaan actually means a place of humility. And God's going to take you through some Canaan lands. God needs to take us through some places of humility, where we humble ourselves and where we learn to trust in God, where we learn to put our faith and our hope and our trust in God. Maybe there's some of you here this morning, you're walking through a Canaan land. You're walking through a place of humility. God is changing you and transforming you. You've been trusting in yourself. You've been trusting in this or trusting in that. And in Canaan land, God wants to humble you and get your eyes on him. In Canaan land, the Lord wants to turn your eyes towards his promises, toward his power, and certainly toward his presence. And today, if God can do anything within our lives, instead of looking at the obstacles that hinder us and looking at the barriers that keep us from the blessings of God, God wants us to humble ourselves and to look to him and trust in his power, his presence, and his promises. If you believe that, say amen. And so each obstacle is going to be an opportunity for Israel to prove their faith in God. Every single obstacle is going to be an opportunity for them to prove their faith in God, to provide a future for their family, and certainly to praise the Father which is in heaven. And this morning, the obstacles that you're facing, what happened to Israel can happen to you. God gives you an opportunity to prove your faith. During times of sickness and sorrow, during times of sadness, this weekend we had several funerals within our church. Several of our folks had gone home to be with the Lord. We had two funerals this week. And I watched Brother Lamar Jones, and yes, he's here this morning. I watched Brother Lamar stand up and preach his brother's funeral. And it was a wonderful service. His brother was a great man of God, loved the Lord, and so many people had so many wonderful things to say about him. And I told Lamar afterwards, I said, "Brother, you did a great job. I just couldn't imagine preaching my brother's funeral, how hard and how difficult that would be." And Lamar told me, he said, "David, it's by the grace of God that I was able to do that." You know, there are obstacles and there are barriers God wants us to go here, and God wants us to do that, and God wants us to be with Him. But sometimes there's obstacles along the way. And the only way that we can get through those obstacles, the only way that we can get through those barriers is by the marvelous grace of God. God's grace working in my life, God's grace working in my heart to help me to get from here to get to there. And that's exactly what's happening to Israel. God is giving them an opportunity through this obstacle to prove their faith, to show that they trust in God, to show that they have confidence in God, and now they're providing a future for their family, and they are certainly, through this obstacle, turned into an opportunity as a way to praise the Father that is in heaven. Listen, you need to know this. Some of God's best gifts are not things, they are opportunities. Some of God's best gifts are not things in this world, they are opportunities. Opportunities to transform a bad situation, opportunities to improve my faith, opportunities to glorify God, opportunities to be on mission with Him, opportunities to win somebody to the Lord, to change a community, to transform a nation, to see a revival spark out. You need to know that some of God's best gifts that He gives us are not the things of this world, but they are opportunities to bring about His higher purpose and His wonderful glory. Is God giving you an opportunity today? You say, well, Brother David, I have an opportunity to do something, but there is this gigantic walled city of hostile things on the other side that's wanting to impede me and to keep me from doing what God wants me to do. This morning, here's what I want to do. I want to show you how Joshua turned obstacles into opportunities to glorify God. If you're taking notes, I want you to track this with me. Number one, here's what he did. He assessed the problem. The first thing that he did was he assessed the problem. Now Joshua went out that morning and he's looking at the walled city of Jericho. And he is not doing a knee-jerk reaction where he's getting a bunch of people to go out and fight and battle. He's not getting a militia together. He's not trying to spy out the land. He's doing nothing. He's just standing there and he's assessing the problem. And he is taking the problem to the Lord. He's taking it to God in prayer. Already, the people have identified with the covenant sign of circumcision. Already, they have worshipped and sanctified themselves through the Passover Supper in chapter number 5. Now they are sitting there, and they are waiting on God. Joshua is assessing the problem. Sometimes the greatest thing that we can do is just to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The greatest thing we can do before we move forward is to assess the problem and take it to the Lord in prayer. And this is where I see Joshua. I see Joshua looking at this gigantic obstacle, and I see him with his head bowed, and he is asking God, God, how am I going to get to the other side? You say, why is he questioning it? First of all, you need to know that Jericho was a secured city. As Joshua is looking at this city, it is a very secured city. The appearance of Jericho was not only impressive, but it was intimidating. As a matter of fact, many years before, you'll remember this, Moses took a couple of spies and said, go spy out the land. Do you remember that? And they went out and they spied out the land, and they believed that there were giants in the land, but not only giants, vast armies and large, great men, but also they were fearful of the cities. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 28, listen, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That was the giants that was in the land. But when they went and spied out the land, they not only seen the giants, they also seen the walled cities. And they're thinking, there's no way, Moses, we can get to the other side. There's no way we're going to enter into Canaan land. There's no way to penetrate those walls. So these walls in this city, this obstacle, it has been a problem for a very long time. It's generation after generation that is struggling with this walled city. And now Joshua is called to lead the people over to the other side. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, excavations at Jericho indicate that the city covered perhaps 8 acres. This place was huge as far as an antiquity city. 8 acres and was protected by 2 high parallel walls, which stood above 15 feet apart and surrounded the city. It was the site of cities like Jericho that convinced 10 of the Jewish spies of Israel that they could not conquer the land. For some people, Jericho was a dead end. And for some of you in here this morning, your Jericho is a dead end. You feel like that your marriage can never be what God wants it to be because you're facing an obstacle. You feel like your ministry can never be what God wants it to be because you're facing some type of obstacle. And you think that the Jerichos and the obstacles and the barriers that you face, that they're nothing but a dead end. You need to know, for some, it may be a dead end, but for God, an obstacle was an opportunity to magnify His power. For God, it was an opportunity to magnify His presence. For God, it was an opportunity to magnify and to glorify and to uplift the promises that God has given the children of Israel. So friend, listen, when others say, hey, this is a dead end, we can't move out, we can't go forward, we can't go on, remember, to others, it may be a dead end, but to God, it's an opportunity to magnify the very power of Almighty God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Amen. They assessed the problem, and what they found, that it was a secured city. Not only a secured city, but also they found out that Jericho was a sealed city. Look at verse number 1. Now Jericho was straightway shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The presence of the Israelites terrified the people of Jericho. As they looked out over their walls and they looked at their borders, they see 2 million Jews coming across the mighty River Jordan into Gilgal and now crossing over into Jericho. News had already gotten to them that Israel was on the move, and it terrified the people of Jericho. So what they decided to do was they shut all the doors, all the windows. There was no way to scale the wall. You couldn't go over it. You couldn't dig under it. You couldn't go around it. You had to go through it. And so they sealed up the city because they didn't want to be attacked. They were afraid of an invasion. And so when Joshua is setting out there that day and he's looking at the city of Jericho, he sees an impenetrable city. He's looking at, okay, God, you want me to get from here to over there. You want me to go through that city, but it's sealed up. There's no way that our people can get in. There's no way. We can't climb over it. We can't dig under it. We can't go around it. The only way we're going to do this is unless we knock the walls down and go through it. And that's exactly what God was going to do. God is going to tear down the walls of Jericho. Listen to me. What God can do for Joshua, God can do for us. The Jerichos that are in my life and the barriers that are in my life, God can tear them down and remove them so that we can go through and do the will of God. Somebody say amen. I want you to see something. You need to see this about Joshua's character. You need to learn something about this man who comes from a generation of slaves. He himself was a slave in Egypt. He has no education. He has no military background. The only thing that he is doing is trusting in the power and the promises of God to move him forward. And by trusting in God's word, God is transforming him into the one of the most greatest military leaders of the Old Testament days. Here's what you need to learn about Joshua. I want you to catch this. Note the compliance of his faith. I want you to note the compliance of his faith. Look at verse number 2. The Lord is going to give some instructions to Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given thee into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 times. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 more times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when the long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. What you need to see is that God gave Joshua some instructions. And Joshua complies with those instructions. Now, those instructions seem very silly, did they not? Here is this massive, massive walled city. It is sealed up, and God tells him, listen, Joshua, I don't want you to go out and build any catapults. God didn't tell Joshua to go out and gather battering rams. God didn't tell Joshua to dig any trenches. God didn't tell Joshua to build some ladders and climb the wall. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to march around the city. Now, from a human perspective, that's a very dumb plan. That is a very silly plan. How in the world are they going to conquer this city just walking around the walls? You need to know something today. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. Somebody say amen. You and I, our job is just to move out. Our job is just to obey. God said, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. And the Bible says that's exactly what Joshua done. Now, you don't need to pass over that. This man is a man of compliance. He is God's leader. And if you're going to be God's leader and you're going to be God's man, then you've got to be a person of compliance. You've got to comply with the word of God. You've got to comply with the demands of our Savior. You've got to be missional and get up and move out and do exactly what God has called you to do. If you believe that, say amen. Now, you might be saying, well, why did God tell him to walk around the city? Well, I got two reasons. Number one, to test Israel's faith. God is wanting to test Israel's faith. From a human perspective, this is a terrible plan. From a human perspective, this is not going to work. But God says, I want you to get up, I want you to go out, and I want you to live by faith. I want you to march around the walls. Because things don't have to make sense to you as long as it makes sense to God. You know, there are times that God tells us, I want you to go do this, or I want you to do that. And we say, well, man, that don't make no sense. Lord, I don't want to do that. If we did it this way, it would be a whole lot better. It doesn't have to make sense to you and I. All it has to do is make sense to God. The Bible tells us that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Your job is not to simply understand. Your job is to simply undertake and obey. Your job is not to understand. Your job is to undertake and obey. Joshua, I don't need you to understand. I don't need you to ask questions. I need you to get up and go out and march around the city. God is wanting to prove Israel's faith. You know, one of my favorite preachers was Dr. Adrian Rogers. And Dr. Rogers one time told his church this. He said, you know what the problem is with so many people? They're trying to understand the Bible without obeying the Bible. Let me tell you how to understand this book. You start obeying this book and you'll understand it. But as long as you don't obey it, you're not going to understand it. Here's what he said. The Bible is not first and foremost a book to be explained. It is first and foremost a book to be obeyed. And I have to say amen to that. A lot of times we say, well, God, I need to know exactly what you want me to do here. I need to understand this and understand that. No, friend, listen, what we are to do, we are to obey the word of God. If God tells us to sacrifice, we are to sacrifice. If God tells us to go, we are to go. If God tells us to pray, we are to pray. If God tells us to tithe, we are to tithe. If God tells us to be faithful, we are to be faithful. We are not to just explain the book. We are to live the book and obey the book. Somebody say amen. And by living and obeying the word of God, we begin to prove our faith and our trust in the Lord. If God tells you to walk around your Jericho, then you better get up and start walking because he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. They assessed the problem. Jericho was a sealed city. God is using it to test Israel's faith. Let me give you a second reason why he told them to walk around. He said not only because he's trying to test their faith, but also to try Israel's patience. Now, I was thinking about this last night, and I could see that there was probably some of them that was there on the job with Joshua thinking, wait a minute, we needed to have a different plan. We need to try something different. There probably was some of them that thought, you know what, I can scale that wall. I could probably climb that wall. There's no need for us to walk around the city. I could probably climb the wall. If we'll just get some ladders, I think I can scale it, and I can go up there. And God says, no, I don't want you to climb up it. I don't want you to dig under it. I don't want you to try to go around it. I want you to walk around the city. And after walking around that city several times and growing very weary and thinking, wow, this is a very big place. They're walking around 8 acres in a circle. This is a very big place. And they're thinking, wait a minute, there's nothing we can do here. This city's so sealed. This city's so big. The walls are so thick that the only way that we're going to be able to conquer Jericho, God is going to have to knock this city down. You know what I have found? That sometimes God's not only trying or testing my faith, but he's also trying my patience. And he's testing my patience to see if I'll just wait on him, if I will just relax for a little while and take it to the Lord in prayer and to begin to pray and just to wait on God. And maybe God's trying to weaken them a little bit. Maybe God's trying to wear them down a little bit. And in their weakness, they're really going to find out that they're really strong. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul found out in the New Testament? Do you remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verses 7 to verse number 10? He said, "At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above all measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." He went to God three times over this. "Lord, this is a problem for me. Lord, this is an obstacle for me. Lord, this is a barrier." And he prayed three times for God to remove this barrier. He said three times that it might depart from me. God said unto him, Christ said unto him, notice, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Maybe that's what the Lord is trying to do to the people of Israel. He is trying to wear them down humanly to where the only place they can look up or look to is to look up. The only place that they can trust is in the Lord. That if these walls are coming down, it's because God's taking them down. If these walls, these barriers are to be removed, it's because God is removing them. "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And I love what Paul says. Listen, he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities? I'd rather praise the Lord in my weakness." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress." He's saying, "I take pleasure in obstacles." Why? "Because during the obstacles and the barriers of life, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." When I'm not depending on myself, when I'm not depending on my own power and my own money. Hey, listen now. When I'm not depending on myself, I learn to depend upon the Savior, and it is God that takes down our walls. Somebody say amen. Not only did they set out to just assess the problem, but also look at verses number 2. They appropriated the promise. Not only did Joshua go out there that day and assess the problem of Jericho, sized up the wall of the city, and went to the Lord in prayer, but they're going to appropriate this promise. Look at verse number 2. The Lord gives a word of comfort to Joshua. Verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." You need to note this. Already in verse 2 and in verse number 5, God had promised Joshua victory. There's no need to worry about the obstacle. There's no need to worry about Jericho. There's no need to worry about the battle. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Do you get that this morning? We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. That is, the battle has already been fought. In the mind of God, we've already won. There may be a process that we have to go through, but we go through that process with him. And so we're not, Joshua, you're not fighting for a victory, son. I've already given you the walled cities. I've already given you the king. All you've got to do is to believe. All you've got to do is obey. All you've got to do is do exactly what I tell you to do, and tomorrow you're going to have the city, and you're going to be able to move out. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and verse 39, "Nay, and in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." That means we've already won the battle before the battle has been fought. So Paul says, "I am persuaded that neither death or life or angels, principalities, powers, or things present or things to come, height, death, or any other creature," listen, "shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We serve a mighty God. Somebody say amen. God says, "I've already got it planned out, son. You live by faith. You march out and you go forward, and the city is going to be yours." I'm sure that morning as they marched out over the city that the people of Jericho begin to laugh. Can you imagine? You're living in Jericho, and you see the Israelites down below you, and you're peered up on your toes and you're looking over the walled city and you see these guys hot and sweaty walking around the city over and over again. Without a doubt, the people of Jericho begin to laugh and they begin to mock them for doing the will of God. Now, I got news for you. You're going to find out that the jeers of Jericho happens to God's people all the time. The jeering of Jericho, the people laugh at us and they mock us. They laugh at us for being here this morning. They'll laugh at us for being here tonight. They'll laugh at us for raising money for missions. They'll laugh at us for singing. They'll laugh at us for praying. They'll laugh at us that we believe that God can do this and God can do that within our lives. They will laugh and they will mock and they will scoff. But you need to remember that Paul said in Corinthians 1 verse 8, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." To those of Jericho marching around the wall may have looked very foolish, but to those who believe by faith in the word of God, it was the power of God on display, because those walls, they're going to come down. Somebody say amen. So don't let the jeering of Jericho get you sidetracked. You cling to the very promises of God. Joshua and the people believe in what God's going to do, and it's so much that they got up, they moved out, and they began walking around, even though people laughed, even though it looked like it was an impenetrable city, even it looked like it looked impossible for them to get through this city. They lived by faith, and they appropriated the promise of God. Not only did they appropriate the promise, but thirdly, they acknowledged their partner. Now, who was their partner? Was it a local nation? Was it a local king? Was it another militia or an army? No, their partner is God. Israel's partner was none other than God himself. God is the one that's absolutely in control of the battle. It is God, he's the one that's going to guarantee the victory. If you were with us last week, remember in chapter number 5? Joshua has just got through the Jordan River, and he is out there on the bank, and he is staring at Jericho in the distance. And all of a sudden, the stranger walks into the camp, and the stranger has his sword drawn. And you remember what Joshua said? He said, "Whose side are you on? Are you on my side, or are you on the enemy's side?" And it was the captain of the Lord of hosts. It was Jesus Christ incarnate. It was Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord before Bethlehem. It was a pre-incarnate existence of Christ. And Christ appears to Joshua and he says, "I'm not on your side and I'm not on their side. I'm not here to choose a side. I'm here to take over. And from here on out, Joshua, you're going to have to listen to me. If you want to get through Jericho, it's not going to be by your leadership or by your might. It will be by my might and by my power." And God came down and God partnered with Joshua, and they acknowledged their partner. Joshua knew that if I'm going to get onto the other side, I've got to put my faith and my trust in the Lord. And honey, I got news for you today. If you're going to get beyond the obstacle that you're facing, you've got to put your faith and your trust in the Lord. Somebody say amen. God said, "I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over. And I'm going to lead this thing from here on out. You put your faith and your trust and your hope in me." Let me ask you something this morning. Have you acknowledged God in your personal barriers? Have you acknowledged the fact that if you're a child of God, that God is on your side? How much longer are you going to try to take things into your hands? How much longer are you going to try to work this out within your own power? How much longer are you going to continue searching Google and the internet and Barnes & Noble, searching for an answer? You need to stop and pause and realize that if you're going to get through the obstacles of life and change them into an opportunity, you've got to partner with God. You have got to partner with God. You put your faith in him. And this is exactly what Joshua and the people of God did. They not only acknowledged their partner, but last of all, they achieved their potential. Notice what happens. Israel marched around the city in obedience to the Lord, and they prevailed. When you look at what happened, instead of attacking the soldiers and the priest, they decide, "We're going to march around the city. We're going to do exactly what God wants us to do." And when they heard the sound of the ram's horn, and the trumpet and the pounding of the soldiers' feet upon the ground. And they repeated that process for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they compassed the city seven times. And when God said for them to give a shout, the Bible says in verse number 20, it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the walls fell down flat. So the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Listen, this wasn't a shout of an attacking army. It wasn't a shout of fear. It was a shout of praise unto God. They believed in the promises of God. They believed by faith that, Lord, you're going to tear this city down. They believed by faith that, God, if we're going to get through it and we're going to conquer it, it's going to be by divine supernatural power. So it wasn't a shout of victory. It wasn't a shout of attacking. This was a shout of praise and honor and glory to God, that God is on their side, that God showed them by tearing down the walls that he is worthy of our praise, that he is worthy of our worship. When God tears down your walls and God tears down my walls and he removes the Jericho, hey, you need to be reminded that he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. Let's give him a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. They assessed the problem. They appropriated the promise. They acknowledged their partner. And now they finally have achieved their potential. The obstacle was turned into an opportunity to magnify God's glory, to nullify their fears, to fortify their faith, and certainly to clarify their future that God wants them on the other side. Curtis, I want you to come to the piano. Let me share this with you just for a moment. This was a poem that I came across this week by B.B. McKinney. And I'm not for sure what year it was written, but it spoke to my heart and it seemed like it summed up everything that was happening to Joshua and helping him to finish well. And here's what it says, and you can begin to play, brother. It says, have faith in God. You got my mic? There we go. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. Listen to this. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And I think somehow, some way, that was what Joshua heard in his soul. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Where are you at today? I'm sure that somehow, some way, you can apply this sermon to a certain situation in your life. You've got an obstacle in front of you. Listen, you've got the wonderful opportunity to take that obstacle and turn it into an opportunity to magnify the Lord. Some of God's best gifts are not the trinkets and toys of this world, but they are obstacles that we can use as opportunities to magnify him. Won't you come this morning? Won't you bring your marriage to God? Will you not bring your membership here to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What obstacle did I need to get around? Lord, what do I need to do to magnify your name? Let's pray together. Father in heaven.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.